Welcome to Quest for Gold. This is episode 14. We are now 273 days away from the opening ceremonies for the Paris 2024 Olympic Games. The Pan Am Games are underway right now in Santiago, Chile, a precursor for a lot of athletes hoping to qualify for Paris. Lots of sports, including tennis, rifle, volleyball, rowing, karate, many, many more, all participating. The games are too vast, the athletes too numerous to run through all of them right now. But as we start getting more results in, we'll do a wrap-up next week with some of the highlights and discuss what we learned heading into Paris. Argentina has reportedly left a roster position open for Lionel Messi if he chooses to play in the Olympics. Each team has three positions for players over the age of 23 to play. Messi won gold with Argentina in Beijing. We do not know if he will take the country up on the offer. We learned that next year's Tour de France will not finish in Paris as it normally does because of the Olympics. Instead, it will route through the Alps twice. It'll be the first time since the race started in 1903 that it will not finish in Paris. French electronic pop duo Daft Punk will not be performing at the upcoming Olympic Games. There was a report that the recently split group had been invited to reunite for a performance in Paris next summer. A spokesperson for the mass group, though, said the rumors were not true. They do not plan to perform. Last week, we told you about five new sports added to the Los Angeles Olympic program: baseball, softball, cricket, squash, lacrosse, and flag football. Flag football may have drawn the most attention because it really wasn't on anyone's radar. I had a chance to talk with USA Football CEO Scott Hallenbeck about how this all came to be.
What is USA Football? I think for a lot of people, they're not really familiar with what that is. They know what the NFL is. They know what the NCAA is. What's USA Football?
So USA Football is the governing body for football. We're the sole members of the International Federation of American Football and a member of the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee. So what is that? As a governing body, our focus, not like every governing body, there's a lot of sort of variations to how they work, but we focus in two primary areas. One is the foundation of football. So we don't run youth football leagues. We're not a Pop Warner. We're agnostic. We work with all youth football organizations, tackle organizations, flag organizations, you name it. All about education, standards, best practices. An example would be we've certified over a million coaches in the last 10 years, heavily focused on just helping make sure that the foundation of football remains very strong. We have a program we call the Football Development Model as an example that's all about progression. So both meeting youth football players where they are, whether they're flag or tackle. We start with non-contact flag. We teach a bunch of foundational skills, passing, catching, route running, breakdown position, you name it, and can progress you up to tackle football if and when you're ready to do that. So you might start at 8 and you stay with flag for a number of years. You might progress to a limited contact or what we call rookie tackle, and then progress to full contact, you know, maybe in middle school or on your way to high school sort of thing. So I won't go into a lot of detail there, but foundational in education, best practice standards. And then the other big side of that as a governing body is to help develop that elite pathway, or we call it high performance pathway. Obviously, given the announcement Monday, we do it both in tackle and flag, but flag has, you know, really taken on and taken off in the last probably 5 years, particularly, especially at the gender equity opportunity and the girls to women's pathway. So we will identify talent, we'll host training camps, we'll eventually put national teams together that go and compete in continental championships, world championships, other Olympic style events like the World Games. And now, excitingly, we have the opportunity to have our flag football teams compete in the Olympics in 2028.
It was an incredible announcement. I think it took a lot of people by surprise, maybe not you, but, you know, we've talked at length about, you know, is NASCAR an Olympic sport? Should ballroom dancing be an Olympic sport? Should pickleball, which has obviously grown a ton of interest, be an Olympic sport? I don't think anyone had flag football on their radar. How did this kind of come about as a potential Olympic sport and actually getting to be part of the program?
Yeah, so more than a fair question. So again, there's within the Olympic movement, every sport has an international federation, ones that probably you and your, you know, audience would understand is FIFA and the World Cup, right, for soccer, FIBA and basketball and so forth and so on. So again, there is an International Federation of American Football. They have some 70 plus members around the world. USA Football, of course, is the sole member from the U.S. standpoint. They play both tackle and flag. What we've seen is flag really take off probably in the last certainly 5 to maybe 8 years. We've always had men's and women's flag world championships. We have men's tackle world championships, women's tackle world championships, and even a 20 and under tackle championship. But probably the best example would be rugby. As you probably know, they've traditionally been 15s. They just sort of couldn't get in at 15, so they changed or had another discipline called sevens. When we started, we, the International Federation, I'm the vice president of the International Federation as well as CEO of USA Football. We started having these conversations with the International Olympic Committee, call it 2017, 2018-ish. And, is there really any opportunity to get tackle football in the games? And the long story short was it's incredibly challenging. And the simplest reason is, again, you may know this, but the International Olympic Committee and the Olympics have always had a 10,500 athlete cap. Now, up to 2020, when the Olympics were in Tokyo, they would allow these invitational or demonstration sports to sit on top of that. So it would be incremental. As of 2024 in Paris and then 28 in LA and beyond, they have to be absorbed within the 10,500. So you can imagine it puts a lot of pressure on other sports, discipline of sports, et cetera, et cetera. And the fact of the matter is the International Olympic Committee, not unlike professional sports and college sports and just sports generally, are all trying to figure out, how do we appeal to that younger generation, right? Gen Z, millennials, you name it, that, would maybe prefer to spend time on their phone or other things. We've got to look at other sports. And you mentioned, rattled off a bunch. I mean, breakdancing is in the 24 Olympics. Who would have expected that? But I will tell you, when it was at the World Games, it was one of the most popular attractions from a ticket sales standpoint and audience standpoint. So who knows? But bottom line is, when we started having these conversations, it quickly came to, well, your discipline of 5-on-5, like again, sevens in rugby and sixes now in lacrosse, et cetera, that at least has a much better chance because of the size of your, athlete delegation and so forth. It's you actually have more countries playing around the world. It's more competitive. And again, it's gender equitable and inclusive. So it started to check a lot more boxes, frankly. So anyway, that coupled with the fact that it's fast paced, high scoring, super quick. When the members of the LA 28, the members of the IOC and others started to really see the game played in its 5-on-5 form, they were really impressed with it. It certainly doesn't hurt to have the NFL supporting this as well. That is without question. And again, you may, just as an example of that, you may know that all of the NFL clubs, certainly the Bears, have worked very closely with their state high school associations to try to get girls' flag as a varsity sport. There's already 8 states. I've never seen a discipline of the sport grow as fast as this. And you mentioned pickleball, which certainly is a phenomenon in and of itself. But it's just incredible. And part of that is I just think, girls and women have always sort of not participated in football for whatever reason. But now that sort of the doors are wide open, the opportunities are there, and they're coming in droves. So it's just sort of really neat to see. But it just like all the other sports, we had an opportunity to present it on its merits. And again, fortunately, we were able to get it in the Olympics. So we're really excited about that.
I think with pickleball, and I talked to some of the organizations that run international tournaments about pickleball, one of the struggles that they had was getting basically the same rules to spread across from country to country. That's been a big part of it. How has it been growing in the U.S.? Was it just an explosion over the last decade or so? And has that same explosion been happening internationally? I mean, we obviously all grew up on tackle football. And so for a lot of us, the flag aspect is quite new.
Yeah. And if you think about tackle, because we had to go back and sort of look at all this sort of data and history as well. I mean, most people, of course, think of tackles 11 aside traditional tackle football. But, there's nines and eights and sixes. So there's variations even on that side. But to your point, there are a lot of variations in flag. So there's nines and eights and sevens. There's co-ed. There's contact, semi-contact, no contact. But the principal disciplines or rule sets are sevens and fives. Fives are 100% the International Federation will be the Olympics. That's where our world championships and all international competition sits. Sevens tends to be the more the discipline that has probably the most participation in the U.S. The biggest challenge at the moment there is there's a lot of different rule sets in sevens. I didn't realize until, you know, a year ago or two, that Florida has their version of flag football for like 20 years. So, but that is, I think, an 80-yard field. It includes punting. We're on a 50-yard field with two 10-yard end zones and 25 yards wide. So a very tight, compact space. So really requires sort of nimble, quick, agile, fast players. So it makes it very exciting, and you have to be extremely accurate in your route running, your passing, and so forth. So anyway, it's just different styles. So we're now getting out there, especially with Monday's announcement, right? The idea of, hey, let's work together, all of the various stakeholders. Let's try to get a more consistent set of sevens rules, first and foremost. Just makes it easier for everybody. We fully support sevens because, frankly, you have more folks playing, boys, girls, men's, women's. And then we will teach you. The elite of the elite will come through our high-performance pathway, and eventually we'll teach you how to make that transition from sevens to fives. But our hope, long story short, is really start to hone in on a more unified set of sevens rules together. And we're going to work with others to try to accomplish that. And then, of course, our fives are our fives. They're well established. And they're, what again, what we will use going into the Olympics.
Internationally, who are the other nations that are really big with this? Is it European, African, Asian?
Yeah. So sorry, you did mention that as well. So first of all, again, you probably know this, but within the Olympic movement, there are five continents. So yes, Africa, Europe, Americas, Oceania, Asia, and all five have now representation, membership within the International Federation. Certainly Europe. I mean, let me start with Americas. So US, Canada, Panama, Mexico's really strong, particularly their women. Probably the Americas, from a continental standpoint, is the strongest and has the strongest number of both countries and sort of the best countries. Europe probably is there. Israel has a strong team. Italy has a strong team. In fact, their men's had a silver at the World Championships and at the World Games. Excuse me, the World Games. So and then Japan and Asia, Australia and Oceania, and it's just starting to really grow. So the good news is, when the next four and a half years, we just expect a lot more competition. It's so much easier to grow the game and create athletes. Number one, smaller number of athletes, very cost effective. I mean, you literally just need a football, right? I liken it to soccer growing around the world. You need an open field, really. I mean, look, you could wear socks for flags, right? You could do just about anything. It's very cost effective compared to, say, tackle football, or other sports for that matter. So yeah, there are growing number of talented, experienced countries, and we expect that will just continue.
These athletes, because I don't know if you watched Sunday Night Football last night. Mike Tirico brought it up, and I think he was joking about Tyreek Hill having a conversation about getting together with Patrick Mahomes and becoming Olympians. I mean, are we talking about a potential dream team scenario here, or are these probably going to be amateurs or someone else in the program, not just grabbing people from the NFL?
Yeah, more than fair question. I mean, as you probably saw, it was, Tariq Hill and Gronk and a bunch of others have come out and said, hey, I want to play. I mean, first of all, the five core positions lend themselves to, you know, quarterback, receivers, defensive backs for the most part. Certainly we're in discussions with the NFL and the NFL Players Association about either current or former athletes. You know, now the NFL and the Players Association have a lot of things to sort out. I mean, their own collective bargaining agreement, among other things, to, you know, whether that ultimately works, you know, the owners, et cetera. So we'll sort of let all that happen. In the meantime, we have built what we call, with the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee and sport performance and development experts around the world, the first ever true high performance development pathway for flag. I mean, the fact of the matter is, most people see it or consider it, you know, a recreational sport, an intramural sport in college, adult amateur, that sort of thing. You referenced it. Most of the quote unquote elite athletes right now are what we refer to as talent transfer. So very likely Division I, you know, women's basketball players and volleyball players and track athletes that are coming over, which is super impressive. Arguably the same on the men's side, but certainly former Division One, Division Two, Division Three football players, right? That come over. So they are generally from what you would call the adult amateur space at the moment. But again, we will now start to look at continuing the exploration around talent transfer. So the next 4.5 years will be, where do you find track athletes? And again, former volleyball players and basketball players, and you name it, as well as, of course, yes, what kind of traditional football players might consider this, or just new folks. I mean, if you just look at the math, there's roughly 1.1 million high school football players. About 1% at most go on to play in college on all tiers. So, I mean, you have a huge percent of those that are really good athletes that might want to continue to play, love the game, right? But they might transition from tackle to flag, you know, as they get to their sort of, 18 plus years. So there's all kinds of channels up for prospective athletes. So it's a little difficult to answer, but the specific answer to the question is absolutely, we're open to it. Mm-hmm. And if Tariq Hill wants to play, he would be pretty darn special.
Sure. You know, I saw kind of a similar transition with basketball. They've got the 3-on-3 basketball now, and yes. I know a couple of the WNBA players have been pulled into there. As far as the men's side goes, we didn't have any USA representation in Tokyo, but a couple ex-NBAers or high-level college athletes compete. And it's a completely different sport, different mindset, and different, the 3-on-3 versus the 5-on-5, it was a half court. So this seems kind of similar in that vein where maybe it will take a little different of a skill set than just someone who, was a bruiser in the NFL or college level.
It's an excellent analogy. And for what it's worth, if I had to make a decision right now, my assumption and even interest level would be some blend, as you suggested, with, elite sort of Division One athletes, possibly some either former, possibly current NFL athletes. And then I'll just respectfully call them your average Joe or that would be a neat mix. One of the things I always talk about is I just find it really special is how NBC tells the stories of sort of the average Joe, the curler that has a chance to win gold. You just fall in love with these folks. So I just think it would be really neat to have that blend if it works out. The bottom line is we'll have a very strict, well-defined, fully transparent player selection process. It's a requirement within the Olympic movement and the USOPC. So that will be all very, very well-defined, sitting on our website, fully public. And so we'll just have to work through that. There'll be a lot of openness to how and who might have a chance to make the team.
Well, this next 5 years sounds like a lot of fun, a time of growth and really trying to get this sport out there. I mean, is there a concern that it might take away from the tackle football game at all? Or do you think that this is just kind of a new growth?
Not from my perspective. Again, the way I look at it, I think sort of the pie just gets bigger, right? So obviously on the girls to women's side, again, you probably know this, but first of all, more and more youth tackle leagues, sort of traditional tackle leagues, are adding flag. They're also adding girls flag. Then from there, you're getting into middle schools. And again, I already mentioned eight state associations with girls varsity flag. NAIA has scholarships. NCAA is already looking at this both on the men's and the women's side. So that sort of just that whole vertical pathway, if you will, is filling in faster than I've ever seen anything. And then on the men's side, yes, traditional tackle football will continue to grow and continue to be strong. There'll naturally be a sort of that talent transfer option for them at any of those players that want to cross over and represent their country. And I just think there'll be more and more athletes that will say, either for whatever reason, I didn't go out for the tackle team, or maybe I'm not playing and I want to try this as well. I think it will just expand entry points and options. But we'll see. We'll learn from what happens in the future. But I bet the pie just gets bigger.
I mean, it's only a week old, but I mean, do you know of a venue already for LA? Did you guys already have kind of a venue in place or an idea in place of where it would be hosted?
So fair question. We have various options we've discussed, but we're nowhere near that. And of course, that is mostly on the responsibility of the host committee. We, the International Federation, the NFL, will all be working together to try to figure out the best location to make this an incredible experience, both at field of play, but also, for the fans and spectators and all that good stuff. So the answer is we don't have it defined yet, but there are floated a couple different options.
Where's a place where people can go to find out more information about the flag football movement? Obviously, what you guys are doing at USA Football as well.
Yeah, no, appreciate that. Yeah, certainly they can go to usafootball.com/national teams, and there's all kinds of information. It really talks about the pathway. I would also share that, and you said it, right? We're really on the front end of this exciting journey to the Olympics. So we are building volleyball's the world, soccer's the world, basketball's the world, have a very defined process and pathway for many, many hockey. We're building all that. So we have, you know, now you can get these tournaments sanctioned, partly to just, I think it's worth noting, because we want to make sure we're putting, again, the best practices, the standards, things like that on the front end of this sport developing versus trying to change it later. So we strongly encourage tournaments out there to get sanctioned by us, because you're putting your best foot forward. You're creating a safer environment for everybody. Then you also get scouted. We will be there to scout athletes, whether, again, they're 12, 14, 16, 18, up to men's and women's. We do have a 15 and under and 17 and under national team program. We're going to add more tiers of that, like other sports. So you have this, again, this pipeline and opportunities to play both domestically and internationally. But if you go to our website, we'll start to fill in terms of those details, qualifiers, our national championship, and ultimately opportunities to, again, compete both domestically and internationally. So just a lot of information on the website.
It'll be really interesting to see who is representing Team USA in those games and how they came about coming across this sport, whether it's between now and then or maybe someone who's been playing for a while. So it's really interesting. I'm interested to see how this all turns out.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot. Appreciate the interest, and great to talk to you.
We plan to dig deeper into the new other sports coming up in future episodes of Quest for Gold. I'm Ryan Burrow. We'll see you next week right here.